Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Continuing in universal principles, this is week two. And last week, we gave the important principle, which we're going to continue this week. Big words come from small words, right? If you understand that concept, you've understood almost 90% of the Arabic vocab. All you have to do is identify the small word within that big word. And once you do that, you'll be able to get the meaning out of it. So we're going to do a quick revision of last lesson. And then we'll continue with today's lesson. And that was the same principle. Big words come from small words. And this is the last week we'll spend on it. Next week is very important. Try not to miss next week. We're going to look at the difference between verbs and nouns. Verbs and names. Now, I said I'm going to teach you concepts over terminology for now because that's really the most important thing, as opposed to teaching you all of the Arabic mustalahat and terms. That usually confuses people and that turns people away. Last week, we started this principle, big words come from small words, and we gave the example of al-arabiyya, that's the big word, and it came from many small words. What were some of those small words? You can look through your notes, no problem. I want you to give me the answers. Ariba, what's that mean?
Abundance.
Correct. Ariba means kathura, to be in abundance. Aribat al-bi'ru, yani kathurat ma'uha. When the well became ariba, right? In other words, it increased in water. Another meaning?
Arib.
Arib, good. What's arib?
Purity.
Because the Arabic language is a pure language. It's pure. It's tahir, right? It's pure. So if you were to say, Ma'un Arib, that's pure water. It's not like other languages that are a combination of so many different accents, dialects, and other languages. Rather, it's pure in and of itself. Good. Another meaning?
Aruba.
Aruba, good. What does Aruba mean?
Eloquence.
Aruba rajul, yani fasuha. Asbaha fasihan. So if you said Aruba Muhammad, he became eloquent. Because the Arabic language is eloquent. What's the other Aruba? Aruba. To show love. عربت المرأة يعني تحببت إلى زوجها. عربة, the woman showed love to her husband. And that's why Allah used that word in Surah Al-Waqi'ah. فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبَكَارًا. Next ayah. عُرُوبًا أَتْرَابًا. The women of Jannah are عُرُوب. يعني they are lovable, loving, etc. And they are loved also by their husbands. So in Jannah, don't worry, if you're not really fond of your husband now, you're going to be fond of him in the hereafter, inshallah. But don't worry, in Jannah, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. Good. And we gave arraba also. What's arraba? We said to hadhaba, to educate. Right? Arraba al-walid, or arraba al-ab ibnahu. The father corrected his son. He taught him. He educated him, corrected his mistakes. Because Arabic does that. It corrects you. It teaches you morals and values. What was the two examples we gave on how words teach you manners?
Khala.
Correct.
Being alone.
Correct. The word for toilet in Arabic is khala. Khala. And that came from which Arabic word? Khala and khalwa. Right? Good. And that means to be alone. So it teaches you when you go to the toilet, you should be alone. It's secluded. You don't have people there with you. Right? That's considered aib in Arabic. It's considered rude. And another word we gave. Your house. Yes. Your house is called bait. Why? It came from bata. Bata means to spend the night. So if I said bata Umar fil masjid, Umar spent the night in the masjid. So it teaches you, where do you spend the night? In your bait, in your home, not out late at night in the streets. So subhanAllah, the Arabic language teaches you manners. Just the words in of themselves teach you manners. So we gave a lot of those meanings, all right? We said purity, clarity, eloquence, affection. To educate. What is it?
Affection,
love, all of those found in Arabic, and there's many more. I just summarized it in six points. So as for that same principle, big words come from small words, we're going to give now words that are more relevant to us as Muslims in our daily life when we read the Quran and the Sunnah that we constantly read, hear, and speak about. So I'm going to give you around 8-9 words because of the time. I'm not going to go more than that. That we constantly hear and read throughout the Quran and the Sunnah. The first word is Islam. That's the first word we're going to look at. this big word, it's not really big, but it came from a smaller word. All Arabic words, you find 90% of the time, come from a three-letter jizr, which is a three-letter root word. 90% of all Arabic words come from a three-letter jizr. And I'm going to give you some activities today where you're going to identify the three letters. And once you identify the three letters, and you look it up in a dictionary, or you may already know the meaning, then it will actually help you understand that bigger word. And then 8% of the time, it's, have a guess, how many letters?
Four.
A four-letter jizr. And then 2% of the time you have five-letter jizr. Very rare. I haven't personally seen a six-letter root word where a word on its, the root in of itself, it's been broken down, it can't be broken down more than six. I haven't personally seen one. There probably is. But if it is the case, extremely rare. Extremely rare. But most of the time, you'll find, as we're going to see today, all words that you know in Arabic have a three-letter jidr, 90% of the time. Whether it's the word like Islam, or Iman, or Salah, or Munafiq, or Kuffar, or all these words that you commonly hear, which we're going to take today, come from a three-letter jidr. So what we said, sisters, that we're continuing on the principle of last week, where big words come from small words. So we're going to take 8 or 9 common words, depending on time. 8 or 9 common words we commonly read in the Quran and the Sunnah, and thus we're going to understand them from their three-letter jidr. So the word Islam came from which word? Muslim came from, because four. We said try to break it down to three. That's your first choice. Salima. Good. Salima. Salima. How do you identify the three-letter jidr? Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, it does not include the alif, the waw, or the ya. Okay? Waw, alif, ya. So if you eliminate those, you're going to most of the time find your three-letter jidr. And you're going to see shortly. Okay? So the alif, you can eliminate it, right? The alif there. Although that's a hamza, it's different. You're going to see it's going to come into play shortly. So remove the alif. So sin, lam, mim. Salima. So Islam came from Salima. What does Salima mean?
Peace, to be.
Correct. Peace and safety. This is based on a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Who are the best of Muslims?" أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَفْضَلْ Who's the best, Ya Rasulullah? Did he say the one who prays Qiyamul Layl every single night? Did he say the one who fasts every second day? The one who gives all of their wealth in charity? No, he said, مَنْ سَلِمَ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ The best Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are at safety. They are safe from their tongue and their hands. That's the best Muslim. So that word salima is used in the hadith. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam most eloquently started with the tongue. مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ Right, the tongue, why? Because most of the harm in our communities start with the tongue. You don't find punch-ups, right, between this masjid and that markaz. And no, it's usually people talking about others, insulting them, mocking them, backbiting them. So the word Islam came from salima. So what's the connection between Islam and peace and safety? What's the connection? You're always going to see a connection between the linguistic meaning and the Islamic meaning. Correct. When you enter into Islam, you are at peace. You are safe. In this world, before the hereafter. Firstly, you have that inner peace. Right? That inner peace. And that's why the highest rates of suicide are where? Non-Muslim countries. The Western world. Even the non-Muslims are saying this. Check out World Health Organization statistics. They'll tell you. So you have inner peace now. And you'll be safe from the punishment in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. But the word Islam also came from a four-letter root, and that is Aslama. And Aslama means, we all know this, to submit and surrender. Correct. Is that in the Quran? Sure is. Allah talked about two great prophets, Ibrahim and Ismail. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا When they both submitted, surrendered. They surrendered to the command. What command was that? Commanded to sacrifice his son. Do you have children? Imagine you were commanded by Allah to sacrifice, slaughter your own child. SubhanAllah, that is tough. But سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Not سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. They said, we hear and we obey, and not we hear and we delay. You want it, ya Allah? You're the Rabb, I'm the Abd. You're the master, I'm the slave. What you want, you get. You say jump, I say how high. You want it, it's going to get done. They both submitted, and his son submitted also. Aslama, the alif, it's called alif ul-ithnain. If you want to add a dual, right, second person to the verb, just take the past tense verb, add an alif. So, akala, he ate. Akala, they both ate. Shariba, he drank. Shariba, they both drank. Jalasa, he sat. Jalasa, they both sat, right? So, aslama, they both submitted. So, his son submitted also. Not, dad, please, get me another fatwa from another prophet, right? I don't like this cutting my neck business. So, they both submitted, subhanAllah. And then, what does he do? وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. How did Ibrahim put him down? Face down, on the jabin. The jabha, this is called jabha, jabin. So, jabha is the forehead, so the forefront, right? He put him face down. Why would he put him face down? So he couldn't see the sad look in his son's eyes as he's about to sacrifice him. Why? Perhaps looking at that sad look, perhaps looking at those eyes would perhaps turn him away and prevent him from fulfilling the command of Allah. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want anything to get in his way from him and his submission. SubhanAllah. That's a very valuable lesson for you and I. Look into your life. And if there's something that's getting in the way between you and your submission, you and your Islam, do what Ibrahim alayhi salam did. Turn it down. Put it away. Don't even look at it. Remove it from your life or modify it. It could be bad friends. Could be bad company. Could be the internet. Could be Facebook or Twitter. It could be movies or music. Whatever's getting in the way of your Islam, cut it out of your life. That's what Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? So he didn't put him face up. Right? Hi, Dad. Right? Hi, Dad. Bye, Dad. How are you going to slaughter him? No, no, no. He didn't do that, but rather, and his valuable lessons, even.
We do the same with animals. We make sure that the animals yeah. don't know that they're.
SubhanAllah, there you go. That's Islam for you, alhamdulillah. So when you submit, you get peace and safety. So as you can see, those bigger words and Muslim and Islam all came from Aslama and Salima. Good. So continuing in the principle that we took last week, big words come from small words. The second word that we commonly hear is Iman. So as we said, as students of knowledge, you want to understand what these words really mean, not just going to the translation. What's Iman translated to, usually? Faith, creed, right? Iman. Now we said, usually, what letters don't you look for if you're trying to track down the three-letter jidr? Well, alif, ya, okay? So if you remove the ya and the alif, what are you going to be left with? We said three.
Iman.
The Hamza.
No.
Then? Meem.
Noon.
Good. Amn. Amn. Right? So Iman came from Amn. Good. So I'm going to give you these opportunities to try and do it yourself. So later on, khalas, as the saying goes, give a man a fish, you eat a day, and teach a man how to fish, it's for a lifetime. Amn. What's Amn mean?
Protection.
Protection. Also safety. Amn. Wa amanahum min khawf. Yes, Surah Quraysh. Allah protected them against fear. Kept them safe. Amn means protection. What's an amana?
Trust.
A trust. Why? When you have it, you protect it. You look after it. You see? Amina also. Amina also. All of those words came from Amn.
Yeah.
Amn. So the Amin is a trustworthy. The Amina is a trustworthy person. Because if you keep something with them, they're not going to go spend it. They're not going to destroy it. They're going to look after it. They're going to protect it. So what's the connection between Iman and protection? Same thing. If you enter into Iman, you have it, Allah will protect you. In this world from punishment and in the hereafter from entering the fire. Another, it's similar to Islam. SubhanAllah, Islam and Iman actually have the same meaning in terms of their linguistic root. Alhamdulillah. And you'll see it's connected to the name of Allah also. Allah, one of the meanings is that He protects you. That's one of the meanings of Allah linguistically. Allah protects you. We're going to take that next. Good. Number three. Another common term. Salah. So what letter are we removing from Salah to find the three-letter Jidr? Correct. So in this word Salah, what are we going to remove? The Alif. So what are we left with? Sad, Lam, and the Ta Marbuta, right? Sila. Sila. So the word Salah came from Sila. Interesting. What's Sila?
Connection.
Correct. Silatul Rahim. Connection. So what's the connection between Sila and Salah?
The connection.
When you pray, you connect with Allah.
Yeah.
It connects, subhanAllah. Beautiful.
That's very nice.
No. Good. And that's what this is supposed to do. Give you understanding. And now you appreciate these words. See, Arabic isn't just random terms it's made up. Let's call it Salah. Okay? Oh, let's just call it this. Let's just call it that. No. But rather, there's great wisdom behind them. Assalamu alaikum, Mukhti. Tafaddali. That's better. So the salah is your connection with Allah. So those who don't pray, guess what? They've broken that connection. Why would you break off connection between you and your master, you and your Lord, you and your creator, maintainer, sustainer? It's like, oh, I don't need him anymore. A'udhu billah. Those who don't pray should pray. Those who do pray should pray on time. And those who pray on time should pray their sunnah. There's always a way to improve. There's always a way to improve. So when you pray, you connect with Allah, the ultimate speed dial. No internet or Wi-Fi necessary. No appointment required either. You know, if you want to meet a big shot in the community, whether it's a prime minister, president, a big scholar, sheikh, in fact, a doctor or a dentist, you need an appointment also. You need a book. And even when you get to that appointment, guess what?
Never
you still have to wait. Yeah, that's right. You still have to wait. But guess what? With an appointment or with Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to connect? No appointment required. No appointment necessary. You just pray. You connect immediately with Allah. SubhanAllah. Amazing.
No ministering between you.
No. No one. You and Allah direct. And that's why the word salah linguistically also means dua. This is in the Quran. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ Meaning, make dua for them, Ya Rasulullah. So the word salah linguistically means dua. You connect with Allah immediately. So even if you say, oh, how can I connect if I have my time of the month? My monthly is my cycle. Well, there's dua. So the word salah linguistically means dua. So if you want to connect with Allah, guess what? There's a number. 2, 4, 4, 3, 4. 2 for Fajr, 4 for Dhuhr, 4 for Asr, 3 for Maghrib, 4 for Isha. There's a number. Don't go dial it. Yeah? Okay. When I mentioned this at school, some of the kids said, oh, that's interesting. They went and dialed it. Okay. Actually, I dialed it. You know what I got? Disconnected. You can't connect with Allah on a phone, right? Of course, it's a parable for the prayer. So when you teach kids, a lot of the time, you have to come up with these interesting ways of teaching them and make it interesting. Otherwise, they fall asleep right before your very eyes. Some of them sleep with their eyes open. You'll be surprised. So salah connects you with Allah, subhanAllah. Ajib, ajib. 4, another common term. Kuffar and kafir. Yes, you can say kuffar or kafir. You may want to write that or the other, same thing. We'll stick with kafir. Let me know if I'm going too fast or too slow. Sometimes hard to judge teaching Arabic.
I have a guess at that one. Afir.
Okay, let's remove the alif. We said remove these letters to find... You're right, sister, no problem. Remove those letters. So if we're going to remove the alif...
Kaf.
Fa. Ra. Right? Kafara. Right? Kafara. That's where the word kafir came from in kuffar. Kafara. The word kafara linguistically means satara. To cover. To cover. Why? What's the connection between covering?
They
cover the truth. Exactly. They cover the blessings of Allah. They hide them. They conceal them. They deny them. They cover up the haq and the truth. Right? That's kufr. That's kufr. So the one who does that is a kafir. And that's why in the Quran, the farmers were called kuffar. Why are the farmers called kuffar?
Because they cover the seeds.
They cover the seeds with the soil. Right? They cultivate the earth and they cover. Right, Surah Al-Hadid, Allah mentions the kuffar, meaning linguistically. Now, if your father's a farmer, don't call him a kafir, because then, okay, of course he's going to take it the wrong way. You don't apply it linguistically, so here it's known as kafir in Allah, right? So be careful how you use it. So the word kafara literally means satara. Satara, to cover. Another sitara, curtain, right? Because it covers you. Like I said, you know, all big words come from small words. So sitara came from satara, right? Sitara, the curtain. Because it covers you. Those big words always come from small words. So the word sitara, it means a curtain because satara covers you. Another common term. Since we're talking about kuffar, munafiqun. Who are the munafiqun?
Hypocrites.
Hypocrites, right? And it came from nifaq. Okay. Nifaq. So nifaq is hypocrisy. So the one who is a munafiq has attributes of nifaq. It's like the kafir has attributes of kufr. So the word nifaq is like the masdar, like kufr and shirk and iman and Islam, right? So that word, nifaq, literally means hypocrisy, for those who didn't know. So what are the three letters? The noon, good. The fa and the qaf. Nafaq, good. Nafaq. So the word nifaq came from nafaq. Correct. A tunnel. A nafaqa is also used as a verb to burrow into the earth. Why? Because the scholars gave the parable of rats. Just as rats enter the tunnel when they're scared and they exit from somewhere else, likewise the munafiqun. When they're afraid, they enter from one door, exit via another. Why? To protect themselves or out of fear for themselves. And likewise rats, when they're afraid, what do? They flee, they scurry into the drains, the tunnels, underground, they burrow, right? So that's where the word munafiq came from. And nifaq, munafiqa, munafiqun. Right, so like the rats, the scummy rats that they are. SubhanAllah. Let's go on to number 6. We'll use Baraka. When you ask Allah, Barakallahu fiq, Barakallahu fiqi, may Allah give you Baraka. What are the three letters that this word came from? Have a guess. Good, the Ba. Remove the alif. Ra. Kaf. Okay. Baraka. But it's not baraka ta marbuta. This is just the verb. Baraka. Baraka. Now, baraka, interesting, means to kneel. Yeah. Baraka til ibil, the camel knelt down. Yeah, baraka is to kneel. So you say, what's the connection between baraka, barakallahu fiqh, and to kneel, right? Mm-hmm. May Allah kneel you down. No, it doesn't mean that. So what's kneeling got to do with that? Now, it was used specifically for the camel. So barakat al-ibil, the ibil is the camel. So the camel knelt down. Now, what type of animals are camels? Are they friendly? No, they're really stubborn, arrogant beasts, right? Extremely arrogant. You get too close, they'll spit on you. Yeah, I saw a video of brothers who were trying to sacrifice a camel, and of course it wasn't too happy, right? No one's going to be happy getting their throat sliced. So it wasn't happy. So what did it do? It clomped on his head, literally. It took his head and it picked him up and then dropped him. You know those skill tester machines? Yeah, right? You know, you get the toy and it takes it and it drops him. That's what it did to this guy. And you find it on Al Bayan Radio Facebook page. You go into the video section, you'll see. It took the guy by the head. It swallowed probably half of his body. Allahu alam how much it took. But it picked him up and just, you know, flung him like a rag doll. They're very arrogant beasts. Very arrogant. Hard to deal with. That's why camel herders also become very arrogant. Because you are a product of your environment. The type of occupation you have has a big effect on your personality. And that's why you find teachers, in general, male or female, tend to have a more of a loving, personality, right? A father figure, motherly figure, right? Doctors tend to lose their handwriting skills, right? People who deal with machines all the time tend to have a very robotic, mechanical lifestyle, right? People who deal with politics become corrupt and deceptive, right? So your occupation has an effect on your personality. So they're very arrogant. So when they kneel, the camels kneel, are you getting them up? No way. Forget getting them up. They're very stubborn. You can smack them, hit them, beat them. They're not going to get up for anyone. Very hard to get up. Very hard. So when it kneels down, guess what? It's going to kneel for a long time. So when you say, Barakallahu feek, may Allah bless you in your wealth or in your health or in your knowledge, you're saying, may Allah keep it with you for a very long time. You know, sometimes people earn $1,000 and they lose it the next day, they spend it all. Where did it go? Guess what? There's no barakah. It didn't last long, did it?
Yeah.
Didn't last long. So that's one of the meanings of barakah.
Mm-hmm.
But you see how you need to go a bit deeper? It means to kneel, but it was used more for the camel because they stay down for a long time. And it's connected to the word birka. What's a birka?
Is it a pool?
Yeah, a pool. Now, what's the difference between a pool and a puddle? Correct. The pool has much more water, abundant amount of water. So the pool, okay, in Arabic, birka, indicates abundance, abundant amount of water. So when you're saying, may Allah give you barakah, you're not just asking them to, you know, asking Allah to keep it with them, but yes, to give you an abundant amount. May Allah bless it, increase it for you. 7. Another common phrase or word, taqwa. One of my favorite, actually. Taqwa. We hear this every Jum'ah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqullah. Ittaqullah, taqwa, taqwa. And what's it commonly translated to? Fear of Allah. You're going to say it's not fear. What's another translation?
Piety,
right? And there's another word for that. There's ihsan or bir and, all right, salah. And there's other words for that. So what is taqwa? Now, I'm not going to get into the mechanics behind where this word came from. It's quite difficult. So I'm just going to give you the root word, which is wiqaya or waqa. The verb is waqa. Waqa. And the masdar, which is the source word, is wiqaya. So you could say the word taqwa came from waqa or it came from wiqaya. No problem. A wiqaya is a shield, a protective barrier. A protective barrier. Waqa is a verb meaning to protect. Is this in the Quran? Sure is. When you make dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Protect us from the fire. Not make us piety from the fire. Wouldn't make sense. Right? So, right. And also not fear. We're going to illustrate how it's not fear in a moment. وَقِينَا, protect us from the fire. When you make dua, you say, وَقِينَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Right? So, what's the connection between protective barrier and taqwa? Taqwa in reality is to place a protective barrier between you and Allah's punishment. And تَجْعَلْ وِقَايَةً بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. That's what taqwa is. This is also in another ayah. Allah says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourself and your families from the fire, the nar. قُوْ وَقَى يَقِي, the fi'l amr, the command in Arabic. قُوْ, right? قُوْ, all of you, protect yourself and your family. It doesn't just mean fear, which we're going to illustrate in a moment. But how do you protect yourself? How do you place this barrier? It's not by, you know, using bricks and mortar and... No. How do you protect yourself from the fire? What's this barrier? Correct. There's two ways. Number one, you fulfill
obligations.
Second way, that's fulfilling obligations. Keep away, avoid prohibitions. Correct.
So only
two? Yeah, pretty much. That's a summary of taqwa. You build this protective barrier via fulfilling the obligations, keeping away from the prohibitions.
Because you can fulfill an obligation but indulge in...
Correct, that's right. So a person can pray, fast, perform hajj, but they're not keeping away from the haram. So both are necessary. You do that, inshallah, you'll be protected from the fire. Now, I just want to add how this is not fear, and I'm going to illustrate that. Why is it not fear? What's the Arabic word for fear in?
Khawf,
right? Khawf. Khawf is fear. Now we said taqwa, you want to protect yourself from the fire. Let's just say a fire entered this room. Ma'ad Allah. Let's just say MIA was on fire. We ask Allah to protect us. Let's just say. What are you going to do to protect yourself?
Run.
Or?
Flee.
Flee. Or? Put it out. You're going to do something. True? You're going to do something. Are you going to sit there saying, I fear the fire, I fear the fire, I fear the fire? No. That's not going to do anything. You're going to do something. In other words, action. So taqwa, it is fear. It is an emotion, but it's coupled with action. So taqwa in reality is fear plus action. We said, what are the actions?
Obligations.
Fulfill obligations, avoid prohibitions. So it's actually fear plus. Fear plus. So that's how you could summarize taqwa is fear plus action. Emotion plus action. It drives you to do something. Interesting question. See how many of you get it right. Does Shaitan fear Allah?
Yes.
He does. Yeah. He actually says this in the Quran. Which surah? Surah Al-Hashr. What does he say? Inni akhafu Allah. Akhaf, khawf. Akhafu Allah Rabbil Alameen. I have fear of Allah. You say, how does he have fear of Allah? But he's Shaitan. Does he have taqwa?
No.
No, he doesn't have taqwa. Big difference. Fear was not enough for him to not do the haram.
Yeah.
Think of a criminal. When they're robbing a bank, don't they have fear?
Yeah.
They have fear that they're going to get caught. Right? Their heart is beating 100 miles an hour. Right? They're trying to get away in the high-speed car chase. They've got fear, right? I don't want to get caught. They have fear, but they don't have taqwa. Why? If they had taqwa, they would have did that which would protect them. Right? We said wiqai is a protective barrier. They would have avoided the prohibitions. See the big difference between khawf and taqwa? So ittaqullah doesn't necessarily only mean have fear of Allah, but it's fear coupled with action. In other words, protect yourself by all means necessary from the fire. So taqwa, subhanAllah, that's a whole lesson in of itself. And if everyone asks you to give a small reminder to the sisters one day, then you can just talk about taqwa and what it means. It's fear, it's an emotion, plus an action. What are the actions? Those two. 8, last one, fitna. You hear this a lot, yes? What's a common translation for fitna? I'm going through a fitna, right? What a fitna. Yeah, you could say a trial, a tribulation, an affliction. That's part of the meaning, which kind of, you could say it's correct. A fitna, this is a fitna. But where did it come from? Initially, it came from the letters fa-ta-na. Good, fatana, fatana. Fatana. You know the name Fatin? Fatin, Fatana, Fatan. It's connected to Fatan. Who's the Fatan? The Fatan is the goldsmith. Goldsmith. In fact, gold is called Fatan also. Fatan is another name for gold. So Fatan is gold, and it can also mean goldsmith. Why gold? Where is gold found?
In the ground.
So what do you need to do to get it? You need to dig through dirt, literally.
Yeah.
Dig through dirt, dig through mud. That's not pleasant, is it? That's tough. That's tough. You got to go through mud, dirt, filth. And then when you extract it from the earth, you say, oh, I've got gold. Or do you go to the shops with all that mud in your hand? You say, here you go. What do you need to do?
Clean it
and purify. How do you do that? Goldsmith. If anyone knows anything about gold, how is it made? It's put where?
In the heat?
A furnace, correct. It's put in a furnace. It's set ablaze. It's ignited. It's going through a trialing time, a fitna, and thus you're left with pure gold. That's what the fitna does to the believer. It goes you, takes you through mud, rubs you through the dirt, puts you through a trialing time, sets you ablaze until you're left as a pure mu'mina, pure muslima, free from sin, subhanAllah. Just like gold. Al-mu'minu kadhahab. The scholar said, the believer is like gold. Ayna ma yaqa. Nafa', wherever they land, wherever they are, they benefit. Be like gold. So interesting connection between gold and fitna. Because to strike gold, you first got to go through a trialing time. Likewise, that's what the fitan do. The fitan, they put you through trials, afflictions, tests. Don't look at your calamities in a bad way. You may not trust the plan, but always trust the planner, Allah Azza wa Jal. Never doubt Allah's divine decree. Before you strike gold, you first got to go through the mud. So that's, if you look at the lives of all the prophets, they all had a tough time. They all trialed. Ayyub alayhi salam suffered for years on end being sick. The Prophet also, very difficult. Just read his seerah. Right, he had people against him, Quraysh against him, Romans against him, Persians against him, Munafiqun against him, trying to sabotage Islam from within, boycotts, his family members were murdered, assassination attempts. Right, very difficult. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He tests you, but via those tests, He's raising you and He's purifying you at the same time. He's purifying you. So with the prophets, of course, they don't sin. So Allah is raising them further. Raising them further. JazakumAllahu khairan. SubhanakAllahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.